Welcome to the Immigrant Stories program. I'm your host, Walter Gallagher. And our interview today is a collaboration with the Aspen Valley Land Trust and the Immigrant Stories Project. Kit Strang came to the Valley in 1960. She and her husband, Mike, had just married, and they had a dream of raising a family on a ranch in the West. 56 years later, on October 11th, we sat down with Kit in her kitchen to talk about her family, the ranch, and the land. Kit Strang, on behalf of Aspen Valley Land Trust and Immigrant Stories Project, I'd like to thank you for sitting down with me, and I'd also like to thank you in advance for all that you have given to you and your family have given to this valley. Your presence has enriched us all. I want to start, if you don't mind, by just talking about you and where you grew up and what life was like.
I was born outside of Milwaukee. I'm the oldest of four siblings. Had a wonderful family life. We lived in the country right from the get-go. I loved horses and I loved riding, and there was an opportunity to ride at home, and that was very important to me. My grandmother and grandfather lived close by. I had an uncle and his family that grew up with us, so I grew up with cousins and neighbor kids, and we kind of ran around the neighborhood.
Tell me about your mom and dad. What were they like?
My mother had grown up also in Milwaukee, and actually my mother and real father were divorced when I was a tiny baby, so I really grew up with a stepfather. His name was Fitzhugh Scott, and he was an architect. He was my real father and the father of my siblings, and we had a good life.
Did you ever have a relationship with your biological father?
Yes. I was required to spend time with him, get to know him.
Required.
But as a kid, I wanted to be part of the family that I lived with.
Right, right.
My real father was fine. He supported me and actually sent me to college, which was great.
What was high school like for you?
I went to an all-girls school in downtown Milwaukee and loved it. We had a great class and great teachers, wonderful athletic program, which I loved. There was a boys' school that was close by that was sort of the counterpart to the girls' school, and so there were some activities with boys and girls, but I enjoyed my girlfriends.
You said you were introduced to horses pretty early on in your life, the countryside that you were in.
There was a country club which had horses. It was run by an old army captain, and he had a pack of hounds, and they used to ride around the countryside pretending to chase something. And my grandmother had ridden as well. She used to ride side saddle. I loved the horses and loved the barn part of it. I always wished I'd have a horse in my own backyard, which I thought about when I came here to this part of the world and found myself with 70 horses in my backyard.
Yeah. So it was something you always dreamed about, one of those things that you would like to have had in your life. And
yeah, I loved the riding. I went off to college and I thought, well, I'll probably never ride again. But I rode a lot when I was a kid. That was what I'd do.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to the Immigrant Stories program. I'm your host, Walter Gallagher, and my interview today is with Kit Strang. Kit is talking about her early childhood growing up just outside of Milwaukee. Where did you go to college?
I went to Vassar College. My mother had wanted to send me off to boarding school in the East, and I resisted. And much to my surprise, my wishes were listened to, and Mother said, well, okay, but you go east to college then. So I thought that was a fine bargain.
What did you study there?
Just about everything. I took a course in physics, which was fascinating. I took English courses. I'd taken geology courses. And I ended up with a combined degree in, I forget what they called it, conservation or natural resources or something, so that I had a lot of credits in the geology department as well as the English department. We had a wonderful geology head of the geology department who was an early time conservationist. You didn't call them that then, but that's really what he was. He excited me and stimulated me to continue. I always loved English, so it seemed like a good bet to combine the two.
When you graduated from Vassar, did you go to work immediately?
I went to Europe for about a year, traveled with a friend, skied, decided I wanted to learn German, so I went to the Murnau Institute. Then I came back. Most of my friends had moved to New York and were either getting married or being a secretary in someone's office, and I knew I didn't want to do that. So I went to Denver and got a job with an oil exploration company. A Vassar geologist was almost unheard of. Women geologists were also almost unheard of. These people hired me, and it was a great experience. It was a totally different kind of geology because it was petroleum-based, and with Western geology, whereas I had studied in the East, which was mostly hard rock geology, I had the vocabulary but absolutely no concept of how the earth had formed or anything that I was really interested in. So it was great. I enjoyed it.
When did you meet Mike Strang?
I met Mike Strang in 1959. I was living in Denver, working as a geologist. A woman came through town who I'd gone to college with, and she said, let's go up and have dinner with these old people that live up in the mountains, up above Golden. And that turned out to be Mike and his mother and father, who lived on this ranch up outside of Golden. And Mike was back. He'd been in New York working and was back trying to settle some family problems. And so I went in to meet these old people, and we had supper, and I met Mike. That was in the fall, and we kind of saw each other through the winter. I went off doing my thing and ended up working at that ranch. The ranch took kids in the summertime as kind of a working ranch experience. It was not like most camps. You didn't have arts and crafts and a comfortable cabin. It was up in the woods, and you worked on the ranch, and they would invite people that they knew and liked to come and be staff members to kind of oversee everything. So I did that summer, and we were married in the fall.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to the Immigrant Stories program. I'm your host, Walter Gallagher, and my interview today is with Kit Strang. Kit's talking about the early years with her husband, Mike, and their move to Carbondale. When you and Mike married, did you plan to stay in the West? Was that always the plan, or was that formulated afterwards?
It became the plan. When we considered the options, going back to New York City, neither one of us wanted to do that. As it happened, Mike had an older brother who wanted to stay in the ranching business, and they had a mutual friend from Princeton, Tommy Turnbull, who had been worked at the Strang Ranch in the summers and also wanted to stay in the West and wanted to raise cattle. The ranch outside of Golden was up in the hills. It was quite a big ranch, but it was definitely not suited for supporting three families and raising a bunch of cattle. So after Mike and I were married, the boys decided they wanted to find a ranch that would support three families, and we were fortunate in that Tommy Turnbull's father had a ranch in Georgia, which was being had to be sold to the government because they were putting a power line through it. So he needed to put those funds back into agriculture. So we had the down payment, not much else. They looked around the West trying to find something that might work for a big ranch. And they ended up in Carbondale, Colorado, which was just a tiny town then. Aspen was still a community. Vail was just still an idea. I came and looked at it and thought, wow, there's skiing right here and a ranch. That sounds good. But we bought the Big Four Ranch, which then was huge. Its headquarters were up Prince Creek. The boys went about putting cattle on it. We must have run well over 1,000 mother cows. And the only real source of income we had besides the cattle, which is a sketchy source in any scenario, was to run this summer camp. So we basically moved the camp, which has had a pretty good reputation, over to Carbondale. And we built, my father being an architect, provided the help to build cabins, girls' cabins, boys' cabins, and we opened the camp that next year.
Did people show up?
People definitely showed up.
Well, you folks were busy, so there was the camp in the summer, which took some work year-round, I'm sure. There was a thousand or more head of cattle running, fences to be mended.
Yep.
And you were starting a family.
We were starting a family.
How did that all work together?
Bart also had a daughter when Mike and I were married, so the group of cousins was already started. And then we had a son, Lathrop, a year after we were married. Again, we had these kids here in the summer and some staff members who were all pretty handy people willing to work, and we put them to work. They built fences. This was before we had a hay stacker, so we'd get these kids to load the hay bales onto the hay wagons and stack them in the stackyards. And there was plenty to do. We again took them on fishing trips, but basically they were part of the ranch, and they loved that. And they were descendants of the first people, the first campers that had came back, that had come to the ranch in the 30s to work at Ralston Creek Ranch.
So parents were sending their kids and so on.
And we still hear from kids of these kids that spent summers on the ranch. Very formative years for many of the kids. Many of them stayed in the West. Many of them found a connection to the land and the mountains and came back to the West in some capacity. So many of them have stayed in touch. I mean, I still get calls.
So by the mid-60s, you had four children, right?
I had three kids, Laith, the twins, and Bridget was on the way. And Mary had three kids and a fourth one on the way. We'd hire a cook for the ranch, and then we each had a babysitter that would kind of live with us and take care of the kids so that we could do the other things that we had to do to run our part of the ranch.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Immigrant Stories program. I'm your host, Walter Gallagher, and my interview today is with Kit Strang. Kit's talking about the busy years, raising a family and running a ranch. Do you look back on those times and see them as a hard time for your family?
No. It was fun. We loved doing it. You were so busy. I think of those years as a blur.
Yeah. Yeah.
The time you took care of your kids and worried about the other things of keeping the ranch going. I didn't think much about keeping the ranch going. That was the boys' That was the boys' deal, and they needed to do it. Our job was to make the rent, the camp work, just from a standpoint of food and taking care of the kids and the relationships amongst the kids that you always encounter and have to deal with. It was a wonderful time. And then our partnership broke up in the mid-1965. Mike had hurt his back and wasn't able to do as much physical work. So we decided it was best to split, and that's when we, Mike actually purchased this ranch we're sitting on, and came home one night and said, "I found a place to buy." I said, "Fine."
Really, you trusted him enough? Huh?
Trusted him enough. He said, "Yeah." He said, "It's up in Missouri Heights." Everyone then called it Misery Heights, which worried me a little bit. But he bought it mostly because it has very good water rights. That certainly was important then, and it will continues to be important and will be very important in the future, mostly because most of these properties are not well watered, do not have enough water in a bad year to ranch. I mean, you can do something else on them, but we have survived over the years because of a little luck and because we've been willing to do all these different things.
Diversity.
We never would have made it as just a cattle ranch. Mike went to work as a stockbroker in Glenwood. He opened an office and hoped people would come. He had some experience from working in that in New York City. He made friends and made contacts, and that certainly helped. Then he got into politics. He was in the state legislature for 4 years in the 70s. That was a interesting time. He loved it, worked hard at it, but it was hard here, being alone here on the ranch and having the kids in all their activities. And he used to fly back and forth with Aspen Airways, Aspen Scareways, and come home most weekends, but sometimes he couldn't.
That must have been a difficult time for you.
It was a difficult time, and I finally said, you need to come back to the ranch. We need to get things sorted out here. That's when we had borrowed money. Ranchers all over the country were going broke because of not being able to make enough income, and all their machinery was getting expensive. And in order to keep in business at all, you had to buy new machinery. And we got into terrible debt. And those were the hardest years for me, trying to figure out how in the world we were ever going to get out from under the debt. And our creditors were wonderful. They stuck with us. But interest rates were high, and the debt kept getting bigger. That was probably the hardest part of ranching that I've ever gone through.
Yeah.
But we kept on. And then when the opportunity to run for Congress came up, I encouraged him to do it.
Did you? Yeah, I'm surprised that after the hard times with the 4 years in the state legislature that you would go, okay, why don't you take it on? What changed your mind?
So I thought he'd be good at it.
And he was.
He was very good at it. Mike was very much of a people person. Loved people, loved the challenge of getting them to work together, and it was a whole new experience for both of us. But we were, during that whole time, we had this burden of debt lingering. We finally got out from under it because my real father left me some money when he died, and we were able to pay it off. But again, in ranching, you're so busy, you keep doing the next thing until the next thing comes along. And there isn't much time to sit and worry about, as long as you can. We never went hungry, so.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to the Immigrant Stories program. I'm your host, Walter Gallagher, and my interview today is with Kit Strang. Kit's talking about life and family and the land. Tell me about your philosophy of the land. What does the land mean to you?
Well, it has come to mean everything. I think when you're in the midst of ranching and you're in debt and you got a family, you think about the next thing you have to do and how you're going to pay for the groceries to feed your family. And it's hard to rhapsodize about the land.
Yeah.
Now that we do own the ranch and we have put a conservation easement on it, and I have a sense that it's going to stay in agriculture and that my kids want to keep it that way and that they're willing to work hard to do that, I can sit back and realize that the land and the community and the lifestyle and the heritage is everything, and it's wonderful. It's made my life what it has been. We've had some troubles in the last 10 years, but it's been easier to get through them because you have the land as a base and your community and your.
All right. Can you talk about that?
Well, we lost a son in 08.
Lathrop.
Yeah, Lathrop, who probably was responsible for our putting a conservation easement on this place in the first place. Mike always said, when we were struggling, he said, well, we just need to sell it and divide the money up with the kids and they can do what they want. Families have terrible problems usually over money. We don't want to do that. Lathrop came back from traveling around the world and being a ski racer and a mountain climber, and he said, this ranch is special. We need to save it. And I think you need to think about that. Don't think about selling it. Think about saving it. He loved the mountains and loved the ranch, and basically fell off of Mount Zopris in the winter of, that was a spring of 08. And he was a very good skier, very strong, good climber. And someone said, isn't it ironic that such a mild mountain as Zopris would have caused his death? But that certainly was the hardest thing that's ever happened to me, is to lose a son.
Yeah.
And
a terrible thing.
But he lives on this ranch, and his legacy. He also worked and was on the board of Aspen Valley Land Trust, and his work there and his work here has carried on the tradition, and hopefully, well, he lives with that.
How did the land help heal you during that time, or at least sustain you?
Had my own kitchen table. And the kids, my children were wonderful. They were supportive.
Talk about your children.
Bridget was back here running the horse operation, and Scotty was off in Virginia teaching school, and Laurie was in California raising her family on a farm with horses, and they each had their own challenges in life, but they were figuring them out, and they all came back, and they all the children agreed that we should put a conservation easement on the place, and that was a good idea.
You lost Lathrop in 2008, and you just lost Mike a couple of years ago.
A couple of years ago.
So you've been dealing with major losses in your life.
We have.
You say we, because you
well
lean
we,
on your children.
Yeah. It's one of the losing Lathrop, I think, brought Scotty back. I think loss always, you know, opens a door for something else. Losing Mike was hard, but his legacy is here everywhere. I mean, we talk about him all the time. We'll fill in a sentence with something that Mike would have said. And you just have, that's the life, and death is part of life, and it is very much a circle of life.
I mean, I think ranchers and farmers understand that much better than most people, the circle of life, mm-hmm. and the role that death plays in life.
Yeah. Mike lived a wonderful life, but he was worn out by the time he died. He died peacefully, but it was a blessing in that his life had gone full circle. Lathrop, that was the hardest part about Lathrop. His life was ahead of him.
Yeah.
That's what just still gets me.
That was Kit Strang. For over 50 years, Kit and her family have been connecting people with the land, and we're all richer for it. You've been listening to the Immigrant Stories program. For more on immigrant stories, please go to our website, kdnk.org, or immigrantstories.net.